Good morning. It is 8:15, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gumnick is here. Thanks for being with us here this morning. Well, Phase 3 this Friday, and hopefully you're going to get to do a little bit more. Hopefully some of the restaurants and other establishments will be able to get opened up for outdoor dining and drinks, those type of things. And joining us to talk a little bit more about that, he's the president of G&M Distributors, Adam Vitale. Adam, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks for coming in with us here this morning. And you know, the great thing, Tyler, Adam is always bearing gifts.
Oh, yes.
And something we're going to talk about some of these products coming, because one of them pretty new, right?
Yeah, brand new, like 2 weeks old.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Age 2 weeks.
Age perfection.
All right. So, so Adam's been acting as kind of the liaison between the bars and restaurants here in the city of Galesburg and the city itself, and kind of because this actually obviously has affected your business.
Oh,
as well, as we talked about early on. So you wanted to help those that are involved with your business to kind of get established. So kind of talk about what's gone on in the process, outdoor dining. Yeah, there are a few places that have al fresco dining already, mm-hmm. or some other seating outside, some that don't. So I guess we're trying to get something established where maybe the possibility of a little extra room, or the possible closing of streets and that type of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we, when the governor made this announcement, we immediately, you know, started talking to restaurants and sprang into action. And we know that this isn't going to fix everything. I mean, these businesses are truly struggling and need our community's support right now. But this will help a little bit, and especially for some places that can accommodate these types of quick changes. And the city has been exceptional to work with, as well as the Knox County Public Health Department. And so what we've looked at is really try to maximize any possible opportunity, be creative with what we can do, getting the restaurants together to talk about how can this improve their business or help kind of give them that initial start to getting back into business. And so we've really looked at things. Fortunately, in 2014, the city council passed a sidewalk ordinance allowing kind of a cafe license, so restaurants to serve on city sidewalks. So looking at how does that work, being creative with maybe there's a parking lot behind a place that a restaurant could use. It may be city-owned, maybe privately owned, maybe owned by another party. And the city has been exceptionally accommodating for all of that stuff, really trying to get these places open. Everything from, you know, one restaurateur asked if they could borrow the city's picnic tables, and the city said, absolutely.
Wow.
So just trying to do that. And then once we figure all that out, we've got to then kind of conform to the plan set forth in the Phase 3 Restore Illinois by Illinois Department of Public Health and the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. They've set forth some pretty stringent guidelines as well.
Well, and the thing is, and we talked with Mayor Pritchard about the Heart of Illinois plan, which mm-hmm. obviously you're familiar with as well. And the thing that people need to understand is that, you know, a lot of people, well, we need to follow what the governor is saying. Well, this plan actually does follow that. It's
Absolutely.
Just that we're ahead of his timeline.
Correct.
Because we're not Chicago. And this Phase 3, this is part of the governor's plan.
Yeah, this is absolutely part of the governor's plan. It was announced by him at a press release. I'm sorry, one of his 2:30 press conferences. So this was 100% sponsored by the governor. The plan presented to restaurants starts with a letter from the Department of Public Health. So it is fully authorized. There's specific provisions on how far tables need to be apart, cleaning, sanitization, employee screenings at the start of a shift, mid-shift. So they've really put in a lot of kind of hurdles for a business to have to go through in order to reopen. And then it kind of comes down to municipal code and what a city can do. And that's where Galesburg has basically said, hey, we're not going to put you through a bunch of hoops. We're going to make this as easy as possible. So each restaurant's encouraged to submit their own plan, how they want to make it work, have a quick barrier around that area if they're serving alcohol, and then hopefully on Friday, weather permitting, we can open and be ready to go. And it looks like it's going to be beautiful weather.
Yeah, this would be a perfect weekend for it if it holds true. We never know with the National Weather Service, though, or anybody else that predicts them, but hopefully this will hold true. Adam Vitale, president of G&M Distributors, joining us here this morning. Phase 3, hopefully coming up this weekend. The unfortunate thing is, if you were one like me, yes, I support all our local businesses, but I did cross the river just to dine in to see what it was like, and the couple of places I went, I'm in there, I'm thinking, I don't understand why it can't happen here. I understand, yeah, outside maybe you're less susceptible, but, you know, the way it's set up, some places actually cleared some tables out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some, they just had tables marked like, no, we're not using this one, we're using this one, not this one, we're using this one,
yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of great ways and some, you know, we can learn from other states that have already started to open up some best practices where they can, and I think, you know, we've had a lot of restaurants in our community and surrounding communities that can offer seating 6 feet apart, or maybe have a wall or a barrier between a booth or something like that. So I hope this is kind of opening the door for that, and we can rapidly get into that next phase, because there's a lot of simple things we can do as a restaurant or as a bar to allow patrons to come in, people to come in. I mean, we're all sick of washing the dishes.
Yeah.
You know, and let us get into these restaurants, eat, support our local businesses. They're really the fabric of our community, and we can do that in a safe manner.
Depending on who you dine out with, you might want that barrier between you anyway, yeah, you know, other
I
than
eat
a
with
phone.
A 2-year-old a lot. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're used to having food sprayed on you.
If Adam, he doesn't like it, he'll tell me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Adam Vitale, president of G&M Distributors, joining us here this morning. So kind of where do we stand? Do you know, I mean, any plans? Can you talk about any plans with any specific restaurants or establishments and what may happen?
Yeah, a lot of them are kind of developing it right now. I think mm-hmm. we'll see a few that are going to have some additional tables on the sidewalks. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of things said, whether it's social media or speculation. I don't think anyone's asking for any streets to be closed.
Okay.
You know, I think that's been a comment, a lot of things. There was someone said there was, I guess, some chat on Facebook about that. That would – the all, restaurants also need to be good neighbors. There's other yeah. businesses, whether it's a hair salon, a retail shop, that's also unfortunately had to be closed. And we can't all of a sudden punish that business even longer now by closing a whole street. Some communities, which I think is a great idea, I know they started doing this in Virginia, is outdoor dining in like maybe one or two parking spaces with fencing around them. So that may be an opportunity for some. A couple restaurants locally want to use some lots behind them or city lots adjacent. So they're proposing that as well. But I haven't heard anything 100% approved yet. I know the mayor and the city clerk and others are waiting for directions from the Illinois Liquor Control Commission as well.
Yeah, and I know I think both Peoria and Bloomington, they were going to allow – because in Bloomington, they weren't going to allow it on the sidewalk. It was, but they were going to allow spaces, like you said, parking
street, yeah.
spaces. And I'm thinking, like, well, depending on the street, I don't know if I want to be sitting that close to traffic going by
exactly.
while eating my cheeseburger or whatever. But you can make it work. Now, and the closing of the street thing, I'm probably partly guilty of that. Just talking about, you know, possibilities. Like, okay, you know, but there's not very many places you could do that here
no,
either.
There
my
really
thought
aren't.
Was – possibly Cherry from Maine to mm-hmm, Simmons, mm-hmm. possibly Seminary from Maine to Simmons, because you do, you know, like with First Fridays and that
sure.
sometimes. But my thought was, well, you could obviously couldn't close it full time, but what about, you know, say like from Friday evening at, you know,
yeah,
5 o'clock till 10 and then open back up and maybe, you know, from noon to 5 on a Saturday or something like that.
Yeah, you want to be fair too.
Right, exactly.
Said, so. And, you know, one of the other things restaurants are really relying on right now is curbside pickup, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to all of a sudden kill, you know, that's not by any means saving restaurants, but it's helping them.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to kill that business either. And there's still going to be people that even with this outdoor dining or when dining opens back up, you know, whether it's at 50% or whatever, that just are going to prefer food delivery or curbside for a while. And that's okay. We want you to still support our local restaurants and we want you to be able to have easy access to that. So it's just delicate balancing act of local businesses, curbside, and everything. And we're just trying to make it so it works the best for the most people.
Yeah, and I guess also like with the curbside, there might be somebody that's not going to open back up or can't do the outdoor. And so it's like they're relying on curbside. Well, now the street's closed. And it's like, wait, well, now they're fine. They've got that. But now people's too hard for them to get to
exactly.
us. So they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Adam Vitale, president of G&M Distributors, joining us here this morning. You know, the thing is, it's just like when this whole thing happened, quick adaptation. So it's like you said, all these places are working on this now. It was kind of a sudden thing when the governor said, yeah, okay, well, yeah, now phase three, we're going to move up and we can do this. So it's kind of a quick process to try to get
quick.
A plan in place.
It is very quick. And, you know, there's other things the restaurants have to consider, whether it's insurance. Okay, all of a sudden, do I need to change my insurance policy? Most of them don't have to, fortunately. But yeah, this is a real quick thing. And then also just getting their staff back. Unfortunately, a lot of these people are laid off right now. So getting them back and then quickly training them on new practices. You know, sanitation is always big in the food industry, you know, obviously, because of foodborne illness. However, with this time, you know, a completely different thing. You know, it'll be very common and the state's going to require servers to wear masks. Those that handle food are going to have to wear gloves, but that's always been a common health department request. And then, you know, if you go to a dining establishment, the state has asked that you wear a mask until you sit down. As soon as you sit down, you can take that off, you know, sit there with up to six people and have a great time and hopefully listen to some live music.
Yeah. So. Well, the hope is that whoever is bringing your server, bringing your food, the glove or no glove, that their thumb's not in your mashed potatoes.
That's right, exactly.
Just say. I mean, it happens.
I don't know. Tom, I live dangerously.
Adam Vitale is the president of G&M Distributors joining us here this morning. Well, how about as far as you guys and your business? Obviously, you've had to adapt as well, and it's taken away a lot of your business. So for reopening of some of these places, I mean, obviously, you guys are going to be extremely busy when that happens. So
and we've been working with these businesses for a while now because obviously, just like food, beer has an expiration date. And so, unfortunately, we've had a lot of beer that we've had to pull out of these restaurants and destroy, which always, you know, breaks my heart, throwing away beer. But and then a lot of draft beer.
I know a guy that could help.
We had a lot of beer. We had a ton of kegs.
He solves problems. He solves problems.
That's good. Yes, thirsty college students, exactly.
They call him the cleaner.
Yes.
So we've been in touch with them trying to making sure they've got fresh product. And they're ready to go for those that are reopening on Friday. It's obviously kind of forced us to have quick changes too, but we've been able to adapt. We've got a great team that's risen to the occasion.
Well, of course, as it happens, some of these places, whether it's your favorite package store or a bar, there's going to be some new products available that you guys are going to be distributing. And you brought a couple in this morning. Let's talk first off about these. Wine in a can.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the interesting things we've seen in, like, Georgia, for example, where they've been reopened for a little while, is there is still that, do I want to have, a bottle, a glass of wine that's been in a bottle that someone's touched or whatever. And so there may be some consumers are saying, I'd rather have something that's sealed. And we've, you know, last summer, really, wine in a can kind of became a little more acceptable. I think this summer it's really going to become acceptable. So that's just one of the many brands. We've got about 30 different brands now in cans. Aluminum is a great packaging for wine, believe it or not. It keeps the light out. It keeps the air in. And so that one is Babe.
So Red. Babe is the brand name.
Babe is the brand name by Swish Wines. Babe Rosé, Babe Red, and Babe Grigio, which is Pinot Grigio. And they're a little bit bubbly and good to drink.
There we go.
It doesn't have that
good bouquet. but it does have bubbles. Though,
it does have bubbles, absolutely. A little effervescence in it. And
We already established I'm not much of a wine person, but you brought some in before Thanksgiving. Right. It's like, it's because I had never had good wine.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Like, hey, it actually does have some flavor.
And this is one you drink cold. If you're not a beer drinker, it's perfect to have on the boat, you know, out at Oak Run this summer.
Question, but are there canned wines that you can drink?
Cold? Absolutely. There's some reds you would drink slightly chilled, maybe just slightly below room temperature.
Okay.
And it's good. The one thing I always caution people is it is wine. It's not beer. So the alcohol content's higher.
Yeah.
So you got to remember that drinking one can of wine is often like drinking two cans of beer.
That is actually really good.
Easy to drink.
Tyler, you're going to give it a shot?
I should probably hold off. But
all right. So do they have other? This is the red,
rosé, a grigio, which is a white, and then a rosé, which is the pink wine.
Yeah. All right. And then the other one you brought sample, Social Club Seltzer. Interesting. Yeah. And this has become a really big thing over the past couple of years.
Seltzer has gotten huge. You know, the prediction is by this summer, 10% of all beer sold will be seltzer. So
it's considered a beer.
This one is considered a beer. It's malt based. Okay. There are a couple seltzers that are vodka based, and there's some coming out that are tequila based. However, most seltzers that you would see in a store are malt based products, and made with sugar cane, corn, different types of malt and things like that. And these are unique ones. These are Social Club, and they are actually inspired by classic cocktails. So an old fashioned, a sidecar. And a citrus gimlet. Yeah, so if you're used to drinking an old fashioned at home and you want something a little lighter this summer, you know, it's only 150 calories for 12 ounces, so a lot less, significantly less sugar as well.
Okay. There we go. This is the citrus gimlet. So 150 calories was not bad at all.
No, and a gimlet's classically made with gin. So this will have a little bit of that gin flavor, but light and
fizzy. Refreshing kind of. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and if you want, you could pour it over ice also if you want.
Exactly.
Pour
it over ice. Some people do like to add a little extra to it, and it's totally fine. But it's something to great, if you go out dining this Friday and you want a cocktail, but you want it in a can versus having the bartender make it there for you, order one of these or order just a you know, a traditional Bud Light seltzer or High Noon seltzer, and they've got it there for you.
Well, I don't know. I know not everybody's a fan of gin, but with this, there's just a little gin hint.
Right.
And then you get mostly citrus, but a little gin hint. So it's like, that's actually a really nice flavor. I'm looking forward to trying the others, too.
Yeah,
so.
Beautiful can. Kind
of Social Club top, seltzer. Yeah. Who makes these?
That is actually made by Anheuser-Busch.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
It is Anheuser-Busch
it
product.
Is.
All right. Yeah. What else? Anything else product-wise new or coming up soon? That,
you know, we've got just some new kind of variants of some beers. Some of the craft brewers have been working really hard while this has been going on. So kind of the thing it seems like this summer that's going to be interesting are lower-calorie craft beers. From a lot of from different brewers, whether that's Bell's has their Two Hearted is that what makes Bell's famous, and they have one called Lighthearted, which is just a really great crisp beer. Solo from Goose Island is 98 calorie IPA. And when I first heard that, I thought, boy, 98 calories and IPA just doesn't seem to go together.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Really?
I mean, it is light, refreshing, and just a really great beer. So again, all good things to enjoy. You can have a few of those at the, your local favorite bar or restaurant's patio this Friday and just enjoy it and still get home safely.
And hopefully at some festivals and things this summer. I hope some have been canceled, but we hope to have some.
I hope toward the end of the summer we can see some of the festivals. You know, the one thing our area has is we do have space.
Yeah.
And so I think some of these it would be a challenge, but I think that we could potentially do some different events and still have those in pretty wide spaces. Unfortunately, we've seen some of the best ones canceled, you know, Taste of Galesburg's canceled, unfortunately, and some of the others. However, you know, they'll be back next year.
Yeah.
So we can have our own backyard festivals, and I think the radio station here is going to have some great summer contests and things, too.
Yeah.
To enable that, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and hopefully maybe we can come up with some festival of our own. Some Galesburg's Morning News thing where we can try to do something. I don't know.
Taste of Big Bang Heritage Railroad Days.
Exactly.
Right.
We'll do it here in the alley.
Well, yeah. Or, yeah. Right. Yes. Right here in the alley. Or we can seriously. I mean, the park plazas. The rest of that's going to be done soon. Take up part of that. And,
absolutely.
There we go. Well, Adam, thank you so much, and thank you again on behalf of the restaurant owners and helping out with that. And
just encourage our local residents to, you know, continue to, you know, patronize these businesses. They're locally owned. I think one of the things that makes Galesburg and Monmouth so unique are the restaurants that we have that are independent. You know, we do have obviously a lot of chain restaurants in the communities as well, and those are important. However, these independent restaurants, you drive down Main Street and there's very few chains. And these are locally owned businesses. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. And if you're not comfortable going out, totally understand, but support them with carry out.
Yeah,
they need it. They're trying hard. They're hanging on by a string, and you know, try to get and support them. And when we get back to hopefully some type of opening, let's rally around these local businesses and you know, tell them we love them and they're a part of our community.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you think it's too soon, then don't go.
Then
you
carry
don't
out.
Have to.
Yep.
Yeah, let people. Yeah,
yeah,
let people do what they're going to do. Yep. You do what you want to do. We'll all be fine.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, Adam, thank you so much.
You.
Always appreciate your time. And we'll get you on probably hopefully again this summer to talk about maybe some whatever we get organized
here. Or something festivals
else.
Or something.
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.